Warehousing strategy. According to the ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary definition, warehousing involves the activities related to receiving, storing, and shipping materials to and from production or distribution locations. Warehousing can contribute to logistical goals in a number of ways. Respond rapidly to changes in the market or customer orders. To enable rapid responses, organizations use demand planning data such as forecasts and market analysis to anticipate changes in the market or customer needs. Changes may include the number and placement of warehouses relative to markets, management of inventory levels, efficient product movement through the facility, and technology to track products. The transportation and warehousing interface is critical. Minimize variances in logistics service. In today's times of rapid change, efficient tracking and handling of inventory in the warehouse is critical to achieving predictable service. Loading, unloading, packaging, and order picking each have a role in minimizing variability in service. Minimize inventory to reduce costs. The more efficiently warehouses are managed and the more strategically they are placed in relationship to markets and transportation, the less inventory will build up in the system. Consolidate product movement by grouping shipments. The tactic of aggregating smaller shipments into larger ones for more cost-effective transportation depends upon the efficient placement and management of warehouses. Expeditious unloading, tracking, repackaging, and reloading are all crucial to effective consolidation of movement. Maintain high quality and engage in continuous improvement. Every aspect of warehouse operations should be subject to continuous improvement, with the goal of eliminating errors. Support the entire product lifecycle and reverse logistics. The number, placement, and efficiency of warehouses must take into account the early lifecycle phases and the end of the product lifecycle, returns, repair, replace, or recycle. Based on these goals, the following considerations must be taken into account regarding warehouses. Determining 1,009 of private, public, or contract warehouses. Determining the optimum number of facilities necessary to aid in reduction of inventory while reducing stockouts. Selecting the right location for each warehouse to ensure cost-efficient access to supply, markets, and transportation. Designing each facility to be the right size and configuration for its products and processes. Developing management systems that employ space, labor, equipment, and information technology to minimize delays, product damage, and product loss. Together, these factors can increase the overall value of the supply chain and improve its competitiveness. The first three of these considerations are addressed next. Owned versus leased warehouses. Warehouse ownership takes three forms: private, public, and contract. Private warehouses. Private warehouses are owned by the company. The benefits of ownership are straightforward. Control. Private warehouses can be built or, to a lesser extent, remodeled to suit the company's type and size of inventory, its staff, its operations, and its location preferences. Deciding whether to build or remodel can involve some serious calculation and guesswork. Building provides the greatest flexibility to suit the current product 1009 and operations. Before deciding to build, the company may want to forecast and decide how long the current size and configuration will work before the facility needs renovation. Remodeling may or may not be less expensive than building. No markup. A company can avoid paying a markup by owning its own warehouse. Market presence. A company may be able to reinforce its presence in a local market by placing a warehouse near its customers. Proximity can facilitate faster and more personal service. The downside of private ownership is a loss of budgetary flexibility. A warehouse is a depreciating asset. The fixed costs of ownership also persist even if business turns down and the warehouse capacity isn't used. Selling a specialized facility, especially in the midst of a general downturn in business, can be time-consuming and hard on the bottom line. Companies have been known to walk away from useless real estate. Public warehouses. Public warehouses are independent businesses offering various services for a fee. Independently owned warehouses are available in a variety of configurations: refrigerated, bonded, general merchandise, household goods, other specialties, for example. And they may offer benefits that more than compensate for the loss of control and market presence provided by ownership. Flexibility. By hiring warehouse services, a company gains the flexibility to increase or decrease its warehousing costs to match market fluctuations. Potential cost reduction. Despite the markup charged by the owner, a public facility may offer lower overall costs than a private facility by providing economies of scale and lower labor costs. the public warehouse may serve more than one client, thereby making more efficient use of its capacity than is possible in a privately owned, single-use facility. Contract warehousing. Contract warehousing has evolved from public warehousing, and it offers a combination of the benefits of public and private facilities. It involves contracting for the service over a fixed period of time, but the contract can provide a guaranteed amount of space and include service level agreements for value-added services that are normally not available in public warehouses. Potential cost reductions. Compared to private warehousing, a contract warehouse may be able to provide equal or better service and do so cost-effectively. When comparing costs, the logistics manager can measure the relative merits of each on performance indicators such as fill rates, units shipped per hour, and rate of on-time deliveries. The contract warehouse may gain a pricing edge on the private warehouse in several ways. First, because the contractor is a specialist, its warehouses may be run more efficiently than warehouses owned and managed by the manufacturer. This may result from the contractor's ability to hold down wages and benefits and to provide economies of scale in transportation. The profit motive prompts a contractor to keep operating costs down to win business. Tailored services. In return for the stability of a longer-term relationship, the contract warehouse can tailor its services to the needs of a particular client more than a public facility can afford to do. Flexibility. While a contract locks in the company for a longer time period than a hiring arrangement, it provides more flexibility than private warehousing can offer. Using a short-term contract arrangement, a company can also gain the flexibility of testing new markets without investing capital in new facilities. Expanded geographic market. A third-party provider may own and operate a widely dispersed network of warehouses that can expand a client company's access to new geographic markets. Mixing ownership types. Mixing and matching the three ownership types works well for many companies. For instance, a company may use private facilities to handle its year-round business and hire or contract for extra warehouse space during seasonal peaks. Determining right number of warehouses. Once, it was easy to decide the number of warehouses. One per market. This was often due to an organization's marketing strategy rather than logistics decisions. Management was mainly concerned with locating distribution centers within easy reach of each market and with storing plenty of inventory in each one to avoid shortages. As logistics matured, however, warehousing became much more strategic. Now deciding on the number of warehouses requires systems thinking. Every decision about the structure of a system requires a series of follow-up decisions to deal with the impact of the first one. Decisions about warehousing, for instance, may affect transportation, lead times coming into and going out of the warehouse, available labor, packaging locations, taxes, tariffs, in global supply chains, etc. Selecting an appropriate number of warehouses for the logistics system is all about trade-offs. As you add warehouses to the system, some costs will tend to increase and some will decrease. An increased number of warehouses in a system can affect the following. Customer service. The main reason to increase the number of warehouses is to place goods closer to more customers, thereby improving customer service. Today, however, the general trend is to optimize the number of warehouses and to optimize logistics operations so that high customer service levels are maintained and total costs are minimized. Transportation costs. Adding warehouses can be an effective way to reduce transportation costs by shortening the distances between the warehouses and the points of origin and delivery. There are other considerations, however. A centralized system of warehouses will likely facilitate more rapid inventory turnover. It will also benefit from economies of scale, realized by consolidating outbound shipments into full loads that qualify for lower rates. Transportation costs also reflect the efficiency of service, which may decline with the addition of warehouses. On the other hand, with additional warehouses, inbound transportation costs could increase if there are deliveries by partly full payloads. Inventory. As you add warehouses, you tend to increase the amount of total floor space in relation to the space available for storage due to redundancies. While more facilities mean less safety stock per site because of shorter lead times, aggregate safety stocks go up, setup and overhead costs. More warehouses require more expenditures on construction or renovation, setup, and maintenance. Overhead increases include duplication of equipment, one for each place, and labor. As you increase the total number of warehouses, you also increase the probability of adding relatively inefficient facilities to the system. To reduce the number of warehouses, one can start by eliminating the inefficient locations. Exhibit 5-4 provides a rough picture of the trade-offs in costs that occur with the increase in the number of warehouses in a logistics chain. Note that in this example, two main components of inventory carrying costs are shown separately: the cost of the inventory itself and warehousing overhead costs. Exhibit 5-4. Cost effects of increasing number of warehouses. As the exhibit shows, the overall costs in the system tend to decline as the number of warehouses increases, but only up to a point. After that point, the total cost of warehousing rises per warehouse added. That happens because increasing costs in many areas eventually overwhelm savings in other areas. The relative rates of the increases and declines will differ by logistics system. These are general observations. Despite the potential savings resulting from a strategic consolidation of warehousing to serve the same customer base, a logistics chain may benefit from adding warehouses in the following instances. Local customers want rapid delivery, and it is an order qualifier because competitors offer it. Transportation can't provide the required service without adding warehouses. Small-scale customers require fast, frequent shipments that are better accommodated by a decentralized system of warehouses. Determining right locations for warehouses. Deciding upon the location of warehouses is closely linked with decisions about the number of warehouses. Logically, the decision about numbers comes first, because it depends upon the size of the customer base, the volume and timing of demand, and customer service targets. After deciding how much storage space is required for meeting these targets, the location decision comes next. However, some location decisions will be made independently of these warehouse number estimates. If, for example, a supply chain serves markets in several nations, it may be necessary to locate distribution centers in each country, regardless of market size, due to economic considerations and product differences. Availability of transportation also influences choice of location. Below are the significant factors to be considered when locating warehouses. Available services. The most important feature of a potential warehouse location is the availability of required services. These may include rail lines or access for trucks, electricity, water, and other municipal services, including adequate police services. Absence of a required service can be a deal breaker. Neighborhood. Warehouses can be located anywhere zoning allows them. Warehouses may also be located in central shopping areas, such as downtowns, in any commercial zone, or in sparsely settled areas. If the warehouse will be new construction, the area has to meet certain requirements such as available space. Costs. The costs of procuring and setting up a warehouse are related to available services and to location. Such costs can vary significantly. Insurance costs exist within a wide range depending upon local social and environmental conditions. Cost of land varies with location. In general, the closer to urban centers, the more the land costs. Warehouse design should take into account the efficient use of space, especially on expensive property. There may be a trade-off in cost of transportation and cost of land, since cheaper land may be more distant from the market to be served. Community inducements. An area eager to attract business may offer tax incentives that impact the location decision. An available, appropriate workforce is also a requirement, though workers are mobile enough to influence only the general area, not the neighborhood in which the warehouse locates. Regulatory concerns. Environmental impact statements can slow down construction and run up costs. The factors influencing warehouse locations are interdependent and impact the rest of the system. Consequently, they require careful analysis. Many of the decisions discussed so far are intensified in a global supply chain, especially decisions related to available services, insurance costs, and the workforce. For example, Toyota decided to locate a plant in Canada rather than in a previously favored region of the southern United States. They based that decision on an assessment of the relative quality of the workforce in each region and the difference in health insurance costs, which are paid for by the employer in the United States and by the government in Canada. Such factors are also of concern in locating storage facilities.